Thank you and good afternoon. Whoa. I want to talk a little bit about this project that we're just now finishing up. We call Fuel Your Life. It's a worksite translation of the diabetes prevention program. It was funded by NIDDK, but other than that, we have no other disclosures to disclose. I'm an intervention guy. I've been doing, implementing, evaluating interventions at work sites for 30-plus years. Done a lot of reading on it, been in a variety of conferences on it. One thing that always bugged me is when I come to a conference like this, when I read a study that was published in a professional journal, I see that most of the discussion, most of the talk is about the outcomes, what we found, not so much about these specific strategies that accomplish that change. And I understand the reasons for it. We don't have much time in these presentations. We've got 15 minutes, and it's hard to do outcomes as well as the strategies. You don't have that much space in journal articles. So I understand that. But we thought this time we'd do it a little bit different, and we would talk very specifically about one strategy, motivational interviewing, that we used, how we used it, how we evaluated that, and what successes we found of that in a worksite weight management program that we conducted with city-county workers in three city-county governments in Georgia. All right, a quick primer for those of you that are unfamiliar or haven't seen motivational interviewing in a while. Motivational interviewing is essentially a counseling approach that explores and elicits a person's motivation for change. It really was developed in the substance abuse arena and found to be effective in that substance abuse. It's now starting to be used towards a little bit more into the weight loss or other types of behaviors. But it very much is a one-on-one interaction between the facilitator and the individual. We're changing that slightly in that this is a study and we need to make sure there's consistency across the intervention. So we're scripting it slightly, which typically is a no-no in motivational interviewing. And then we're also doing it in a small group format, which I'll talk about in just a little bit. All right. Foundation of motivational interviewing includes collaboration, evocation, autonomy, and rolling with resistance. Collaboration is this idea that you're working with the participant. It's not just you that's directing it. They're the ones that need to take ownership of this. They're the ones that need to take control. We're just there to help them do that. Evocation is eliciting motivation for change throughout the process. We're there to increase the confidence. We're there to increase the importance of change, but they're the ones that need to decide to make that change. Autonomy is they're the one that sets the goals. We don't do it for them at all. They need to set the goals. Of course, we help them achieve those goals as best we can. And rolling with resistance is this idea that people frequently are resistant to change. And if we get into a tug of war where we're trying to force them to change, we're not accomplishing what we need to do and get them to go down this change road. So we kind of roll with the change and help them understand why they're being resistant rather than fighting them in a tug of war to keep them from being completely resistant. Some of the strategies or some of the tools that are used in MI are in what we call ORs. We're continually asking open-ended questions, always prompting them for information. We take that information and we affirm their experiences and their feelings. I understand that you're feeling hesitant about walking late at night. Let's talk about how we can accomplish that. We reflect on what they're talking about and restate the meaning in terms that they would understand, in terms that hopefully that they feel that they can use. And then we're periodically summarizing the salient points to remind them why they're doing this and how they go down the road. And all of this is done within this framework of what we call change talk. We're always getting them to talk about change and how they can be successful in that change. All right, now, specific to this particular project, diabetes prevention program, some of you might be familiar with it, basically is a weight management program to try to get individuals to keep from becoming a diabetic, type 2 diabetic, by managing their weight or losing some of their weight. Now, many of you know in weight management, it's not rocket science. We know how to lose weight. Everybody knows how to lose weight. Watch what you eat, you'd be a little bit more physically active. Problem is, there's so many barriers and challenges that people face along the way, it becomes very difficult for them to make that change. And so motivational interviewing is an approach to try to get them to overcome those barriers and challenges, try to get them to see that they can change and take the steps for that change. Now, our project, we called our project Do Your Life, but essentially it was a translation of the diabetes prevention program. We used health coaches to deliver the intervention. We had three groups, three city county governments that randomly assigned, one of which was a phone intervention group. We called them up on the phone during the work hours. We talked with them individually for about 15 to 20 minutes. Second was a small group. We met on the lunch hour or some prearranged time during work hours, usually 8 to 10 in a group, and we sit down for 15 minutes and we talk about the change in the programs overall. And then we had a third group that was a comparison group. We did a couple of things that are unusual for AMI in that we scripted the interactions. We wanted the same to be across all groups and all individual phone counseling. So it was very much a scripted intervention. And then we very much trained the coaches to be able to work around that scripted intervention so they can take the initiative to identify when an individual was being resistant and help them overcome that resistance, to identify when they needed to change and try to elicit that change talk. So it was a structured program, but we tried to make it as flexible as we could around that structuring. There was 8 sessions that were facilitated by a health coach. Eight sessions were both treatment and control group, and each session was structured in a similar fashion in that there was an opening feedback. What did you do since the last session? Did you accomplish the goals that you set? Let's talk a little bit about the content for this session, and then let's talk about an action plan, how we're going to take action between now and the next time we meet. All right, so let me go very specifically into how we used MI as part of this particular program. As with any research project, we needed to do a baseline data collection. We brought them in for a survey and did the biometrics, the height and weight screening. And at that point in time, we linked them up with their health coach, and that was their collaborator through the entire program. Diabetes Prevention Program Fuel Your Life is a 6-month intervention program with a 6-month maintenance period. So there was a year-long period that the individual was linked up with a particular coach. And that coach started with a brief orientation session that started to elicit that change talk. Why did you decide to participate? What do you want to get out of it? How do you feel about your particular weight? So we're already starting to ask the open-ended questions to get them to change. We met with them the 8 sessions throughout the program. We met with them at the end of that 6-month period of time. There was 2 opportunities during the maintenance period that we met with them, and then there was a final wrap-up at 12 months, which coincided with the data collection period as well, where we also met with them. They had the health coach at each interval throughout that process, and that was both the phone and the small group. So the small group had the same coach throughout, phone had the same coach throughout the entire team. Part of the evocation, we're constantly asking open-ended questions to try to get them to feedback on the progress that they've made throughout the course. So we ask them, how do you feel about your current weight? How do you feel about that fat goal? What do you think about exercising at night? Is that something you feel that you can do? Always building prompts into the script so that we can affirm the positive things they've done, reinforce the positive reflections or positive actions that they take. We trained our coaches into a variety of different reflections, and if you're familiar with MI, there's a variety of different ways that you can reflect on participant progress. So our coaches were trained in that, and we trained them to take the opportunity when that came up in a session to be able to reflect on the progress that the individual made, and then continually putting into the summaries in there, again, restating in our words what that individual accomplished and what they can do to move forward on that. As far as the autonomy go, we had them at the end of each session set up a specific action plan. What were the goals for next time? How were they going to accomplish it? When were they going to accomplish it? Who were they going to work with to accomplish that goal? And then what they expected to be able to bring back to our next session. At the end of that, we always asked them to rate their confidence and importance on a 1 to 10 scale. 1 to 10, how confident are you? 1 to 10, how important is this particular goal? Understanding that it was a very low rating, clearly they didn't think they were going to be able to accomplish the goal, so we need to take a little bit of time to elicit some more change talk, talk with them about the barriers or the challenges they might be experiencing, see if we can help them overcome that. And if not, if they still thought it was low confidence, low importance, then maybe that's not the appropriate goal. And maybe we need to rethink that goal into something that they think is a little bit more accomplishable for those. So we're always working with them with this action plan at the end of each session. A big difference between ambivalence and resistance. Ambivalence, you don't care. Resistance, you care. You're just not motivated enough to get there. So again, we taught our coaches to don't fight the resistance, but roll with the resistance. So understand what's behind that resistance. Help the individual understand why they are resisting and see if they can come up with ways of overcoming that particular resistance. Did quite a bit of training of our coaches. They attended a national workshop. Two-day workshops are held all over the country. If you're interested in this, you can sign up for them, find them online. And we did a week training in our shop alone, where we walked them through each lesson. We talked about where we expected them to ask questions and elicit this change talk. We had people come in and we allowed them to pilot this particular intervention, and lots of practice, lots of feedback on how they were accomplished as it, so they felt comfortable with that. All right, quickly, the evaluation of this. Just to give you a snapshot of what we did. Again, 6-month program, 6-month of maintenance, so it was a year-long project. We did this in 3 waves. So we had 3 sites go in 3 waves at the same time with 3 coaches that were doing it. We had approximately 75 to 100 participants each wave. So it was about 75 to 100 people in the phone condition, 75 to 100 people in the small group. That worked out to be about a dozen small groups in each particular time. Over the course of the 3 years, we were up about 860 or 870 individual sessions that were done, and they did it on an alternating basis. All 3 coaches did both a phone and a small group. 1 week they did the phone, next week they did the small group, and they alternated. So needless to say, they were very busy and had an opportunity to practice a lot of different practice. We had a lead health coach and a project coordinator that were trained in the advanced training of motivational interviewing, and we did an periodic evaluation of their particular sessions, where we would sit in on the phone session or we would sit in on the small group session, and we would rate them. And you see here's an example of one of the rating forms that we use. We would rate them on those 4 dimensions in that session, and then afterwards we'd kind of do kind of a motivational interviewing approach. We'd sit down with them and say, how do you think you did? What were the challenges? And when so-and-so said this, what did that make you feel? And what would be a way to react? Could you possibly react this way? So we're constantly working with them to talk with them about how they did and how they can improve that next time. Overall, we evaluated about 14% of all the sessions, 51 group and 71 phone sessions, and across all 4 domains, that means each time that the individual got it, all 4 categories at a minimum expected or higher, we gave them full credit for that, and they did that 82% of the time, which is quite phenomenal when you're doing 800-plus of those sessions. You can see that they improved over time. Wave 1 was a little bit, they're learning. We got up to wave 2, and it probably fell off a little bit at wave 3 by that time. I'm sure they were getting pretty tired and pretty worn out with the particular process. During this time, we had a couple of boot camps. About once a year, we'd have what we call our health coach boot camps. We'd take a half a day, we'd sit back, and then we'd talk with them about what's going on, how is it working, what progress are you making? Let's do some brainstorming about how you are experiencing some challenges and how we can help you overcome those with the process. Always working on practice. Some of the students on this progress got really, really tired of serving as the practice subjects, as our coaches were constantly practicing on our students. And the topics that most often came up are topics that reflect the MI, the ambivalence versus the resistance, types of reflections and how we might use those reflections best to elicit this change talk. How to listen. When we talk about evoking change talk, the important part of that from a facilitator standpoint is they have to listen and listen carefully, because the participant might be saying one thing but meaning something entirely different. They need to understand the meaning. That's what we're trying to get to help them, not necessarily what the participant is saying. And then we need to work with the individual. Understand that the individual needs to write themselves. We can't force them to do it. They need to be able to do that overall. So in conclusion, Am I? We modified it slightly. Again, not typically done in scripted fashion, not typically done in small group, but it worked pretty darn well. But I think the reason was, is we trained them, we practiced, and then we were constantly monitoring them and some feedback on the session using very similar things to MI. In fact, it got a little spooky in some of our team meetings that all of a sudden everybody would start using MI on everybody else in the middle of the meeting. We'd say, no. Can't do that here anymore. We're always building in opportunities within the script and within what we're talking about with the individual to elicit this change and help them accomplish this change. I'm going to close by recognizing our health coaches in particular, but the team overall. This is a fantastic team. They are absolutely great in this particular project. And the three coaches, Tiffany, Sarah, and Heather, in that order, in that picture, kept a positive attitude, kept moving forward. They were always bright and sunny on Monday morning, and after talking with as many people as they did over time, helping people with their problems and starting to take on some of those problems themselves, that was quite a challenge to them. And they were a fantastic group, and the success that we've had was really due to them. One final quick comment as an FYI, and as I said, as part of this presentation, we didn't have time to get into the outcomes, but we have started to look at the outcomes. It looks like the phone condition was the best, followed by the small group, and then, of course, the comparison group fell behind. In fact, the comparison group actually gained some weight. So we're seeing some positive changes in both. Phone group, probably because MI is really an individual approach more than a small group approach. And I thank you for your attention.